I'm wondering if you have ever checked out your family tree and if you are related to someone famous or someone infamous. As part of the background of the 2008 presidential election, there were genealogists who looked into the family histories of the primary candidates, and they discovered that Republican candidate John McCain and Democratic candidate Barack Obama are both descendants of King William I, the Lion of Scotland, and that McCain is related to former First Lady Laura Bush. They are sixth cousins. And that Barack Obama is related to, get this, former President George Bush. They are 10th cousins once and twice removed. And I hope you understand what that means, because I do not know what that means. But add to that, that President Obama is also related to former Vice President Dick Cheney. And they are both embarrassed about that. Well, as Americans, we probably aren't as concerned about our family trees and heritage as people of some other countries and cultures, largely because we are primarily a nation of immigrants. We've come from a lot of different places, and we have a lot of different mix in our family history. But we are more concerned, for the most part, about where we are than where we came from. It wasn't that way for ancient Jews. They were very concerned about their family history, and so they kept detailed records. The official records were maintained by the Sanhedrin. That was 70 men who were the religious officials and leaders of Judaism in the first century. And those records were maintained safely, they thought, in the temple in Jerusalem. They were records from the oldest to the youngest. That is, they went all the way back as far as they could trace and tracked it to the present. And in addition, there were many families that kept personal records in their homes and then passed them down from generation to generation. Curiously, they were tracked in the opposite way, from the youngest, that is the present time, to the oldest and back in history. And there were a lot of reasons why this was important for Jews. They had inheritance to deal with. Every 50 years, there was a reversion to the inheritance family. And there were roles in society that were defined by your familial line. And just one example of that is working in the liturgy of the temple in Jerusalem. So if you were going to be in the choir in the temple in Jerusalem, you had to be a Levite. That means you had to be able to trace your family heritage back to Levi in the Old Testament. And if you were a priest, and that was considered especially important, you had to be able to prove that you were a direct descendant of Aaron, who was the first high priest of Israel. King Herod, who reigned for a very long time in the first century, was not a pure Jew. He was part Idumean and severely politically criticized for it, especially by those who considered their heritage to be purely Jewish. So King Herod, in a travesty of history, ordered that all the genealogical records in the temple in Jerusalem be destroyed. Well, we may be bored by some of these biblical lists. If you ever tried to read through the entire Bible, you found that there are sometimes pages of names that are difficult to pronounce and digest. They even memorized genealogies in those days. But we're not going to memorize. I'd like you to just listen and try to pay attention as best you can and kind of pretend that this is your own family history. From Matthew chapter 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron, Hezron, the father of Ram, Ram, the father of Amminadab, Amminadab, the father of Nahshon, Nahshon, the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, Abijah, the father of Asa, Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, Jehoram, the father of Uzziah, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Amon, Amon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile of Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, the father of Abiad, Abiad, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor, Azor, the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Akim, Akim, the father of Eliad, Eliad, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ, which sounds as if Matthew must have gone to the temple to do some of his research of Jesus' genealogy, because this is a family tree that is traced, as they recorded in the temple, from the oldest to the youngest. And Matthew, in doing it, made some curious adaptations. He divided up the list into three lists of 14 generations each. That was a frequent and common practice. It's called a mnemonic device, and it was to make it somewhat easier for memorization of your family tree. There is some speculation that this list is not complete, that there are some names, perhaps unknown or unimportant, that were perhaps left out. But what is especially surprising about Matthew's listing of the genealogy of Jesus is the inclusion of women. That was rarely ever done, because the ancient Jewish society was a patriarchal society, which made it a patrilineal society, and that is that family trees were virtually always traced through the men, through the father's line. And yet Matthew lists women. And he lists the names of some who are kind of a family embarrassment that many would prefer to have left out. There are two tellings of the Christmas story in the New Testament, the one by Matthew, the other by Luke. And Luke also gives the genealogy of Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 3. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Jannai, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Matthias, the son of Simeon, the son of Joseph, the son of Jodah, the son of Jonanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adlai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Jorim, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Malia, the son of Mena, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, who was the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Heber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, who was the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the Son of God. And in this, it sounds as if Luke must have checked out the personal family records, perhaps even conversations with Mary, who may have memorized all of this, because this is the opposite of the Matthew list. This is a youngest to oldest list, and it goes all the way back to Adam. It does not list any women. Every name in the list is a male name. And while there are some embarrassing names and stories included in the list, there are also some that are famous and that are curious. Like Methuselah's name is listed as an ancestor of Jesus. Of all those whose ages at death are listed in the Bible, Methuselah has the highest number, that he lived to be 969 years old, which seems kind of sad to me because 31 more years, and he would have reached his 1,000th birthday. I mean, isn't that sad to die just before your 1,000th birthday? And many of us take delight in telling about a grandparent or great-grandparent that lived to some great old age because we kind of infer from that that maybe we have that gene that we will live for a very long time. And Methuselah had a pretty famous grandson named Noah, who was good at building boats and very good at taking care of animals. And what does all this mean to us at Christmas? In less than 2 weeks, we will celebrate Christmas, many of us with our extended families. And often it is a time of high expectation and high hope, a time that is idealized when everyone will get together, when everyone will get along just great, where no one will come inappropriately dressed or say something they shouldn't say, where gifts will not be out of line or inappropriate. Everything will be picture postcard perfect. And then comes Uncle Henry and Aunt Marge, and we try to put together for the day octogenarians with toddlers, and there are some good gifts, and there are some that are just outrageously out of line. And there are delightful surprises when families get together, and there are heartbreaking disappointments. And it's just like Jesus. It's just like Jesus' family. So let's see what we can learn from these genealogies of Jesus. Two of them given, one written by Matthew, the other written by Luke. There are differences among them, not only that Matthew goes from the oldest to the youngest and Luke from the youngest to the oldest, but actually, at points, there are different names that are listed in the family tree. For example, only Luke lists the names from Adam to Abraham. Matthew doesn't mention that at all. And Matthew and Luke list all the exact same names from Abraham to David, but from David to Jesus, a third of the list, it's completely different names. No duplication really at all. Okay, so I'm going to admit to you up front that these genealogies of Jesus can be different and confusing and perhaps incomplete, and even somewhat at times with the names listed embarrassing. Bible scholars have tried to figure this out for a very long time to reconcile the two different lists and understand why there are the variations in them. Perhaps the most popular explanation has been the proposal that Matthew gives the genealogy of Joseph, which was the legal genealogy of Jesus, and that Luke gives the genealogy of Mary, which was the biological genealogy of Jesus. And that is a very good explanation, maybe fully reasonable, although keeping and giving the genealogy of a woman would be extraordinarily unusual for people of that time. So there's another explanation that there are different ways of tracing family trees, and that some say that Matthew gives the royal line of Jesus, while Luke gives the priestly line to point out that Jesus had a heritage in both of these familial traditions. And there are lots of other explanations. Perhaps one of the most interesting and fascinating is one that is a little bit harder to explain than the others. Under Old Testament law, they had a frequent practice that was called levirate marriage. And the way it worked was this, that a couple married and the man died childless. It was then the expectation that his wife marry his brother, and that the first child to her second marriage was recorded, listed, and legally considered to be the child of her first husband, who was deceased. And they did this frequently. And so it has been speculated that maybe Joseph's mother married brothers who had the same mother but different fathers. And that would explain why these family genealogies for a time go in different directions. And I am sure that to many modern minds, all of this seems unusual and difficult to understand, but there's really no indication that the first readers of these genealogies found them unusual or peculiar at all. So perhaps they knew some things that maybe we easily miss. But to them, the point was clear, and that is that Jesus was the legal and genetic descendant of Adam and Abraham and David. While thinking about all this past week, I pulled out a folder I have not looked at in years and pretty much forgotten everything that was in it, and it is some of my own family history. I've never researched it, so none of this is anything I totally claim. It's pieces of paper and pictures and such received from cousins and uncles whose judgment I've not always trusted in the past. So I really don't know, but here's some information that I found, if it's correct, that I come from a long line of Catholics and Protestants, mostly Catholics, to be sure, and that I am a mix of Irish, Scottish, Scandinavian, and English, plus, if my grandmother was right, Native American. Maybe, you know, maybe, because when I read this, at times it seems contradictory and confusing and difficult for me to connect my own genetic dots. And if I can't connect my own family history, then how do I explain the family history of Jesus as recorded in the Bible with that level of detail? But just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because it is, time seems a little confusing to me does not make it any less accurate. And so it is that while we may not be able to fully understand every generation of everything in the genealogy of Jesus, that does not make it any less accurate or true. Both of these genealogies of Jesus make the same point. And the same point is that Jesus is the descendant of David. Or the way they said it then, he is the son of David. David is the center point of Jesus' genealogy. And why is that? For first century Jews under Roman oppression and captivity, there was a dream, a hope, a prayer that someday the kingdom would be restored with a king like David. They reflected back, knowing all of David's faults and sins, they reflected back on the reign of David as the best of times. That was kind of the utopia of yesterday. And they dreamed and hoped and prayed to God that there would be a new king like David, a descendant of David, only better than David. It would be a new kingdom sent from God that would be ruled by David's son. And that theme is repeatedly through the stories, the biography of Jesus. When Jesus performed miracles, they thanked him as the son of David. When there were people who wanted to be healed or have their children healed, they would plead with him and call him the son of David. When Jesus first publicly entered the city of Jerusalem, they hailed him as the son of David. When the first sermon was preached in the Christian church in Acts chapter 2. It is St. Peter who preaches about Jesus being the descendant of David. When St. Paul writes his great theological treatise that is called the New Testament Book of Romans, in the first few lines, he explains that Jesus is the descendant of David. And in the very last book of the Bible, almost the last lines of the Bible, Jesus prophetically says, I am the root and offspring of David. Everything they hoped for, all the promises, all the prayers come true, would be in the Messiah, the son of David. So David's name and lineage meant hope and promise and goodness and greatness and royalty and a whole lot more. Maybe the simplest comparison that I can make is if America someday were to have a president who would be a descendant of both George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, the best of our icon presidents, only multiplied out to be the very best of both. And so 1,000 years after David lived and ruled, Jesus was born, the Messiah, the son of David, into David's Christmas family. Some of the names in Jesus' family are famous names, familiar to a lot of people, names like Adam and Noah. But there are some notorious names here as well, like the name of Tamar. She played the part of a prostitute in order to seduce her father-in-law, who impregnated her, and she had twins, one of whom is an ancestor listed in the family tree of Jesus. Also listed is Rahab, who was the city prostitute in Jericho, and Ruth, who was a Moabite, and there was a curse on all Moabites that they couldn't be part of the family of God. And yet that curse was lifted for Ruth, an ancestor of Jesus. And then there was Bathsheba, who was the mistress, the married mistress of King David, and a foreparent of Jesus of Nazareth. There is in the list some of the godliest people who have ever lived, like Enoch, who walked with God, and God took him directly to heaven without going through the gate of death. And there are top flight leaders like Zerubbabel, who used his political position and the power that he had to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and call the people back to God. So Jesus' family tree is kind of like our family tree. It's got the best of people and the worst of people, some to be proud of and some to be ashamed of. They were all in the heritage, in the DNA of Jesus. When I read some of my own family's history, I learned that my great-grandmother, whose name was Abigail Creamer, was married a lot of times. And her first marriage was annulled by her parents because her husband was too religious. I found that kind of a curious thing for my history. She married a couple more times. Her third husband was a house painter who became my great-grandfather. And they had a lot of children. So the first child really did pretty well. He moved to California and made stained glass and apparently excelled at it. The second child, and I'm quoting here, these are not my words, the second child went crazy and was put in an institution. And then the third and fourth children were twins born on the 4th of July and therefore named after Martha Washington and the Liberty Bell. And their fifth child was my grandmother. And then on my grandfather's side, he had a sister named Hazel. And Hazel had three children, and again, I'm quoting, one of which was not her husband's, but a Jewish gentleman who owned the movie house. And there's more, which I am not going to tell you what else is in there. And I read this and think, this cannot be my family history. This is your file that I picked up by mistake. This just can't be true. So don't be embarrassed by your relative. Because we've all got this, and Jesus knows. Jesus knows and understands exactly, because he had it too. You know, when most of us talk about our ancestors, we try to do it in a way that makes us look good. And so we say, I'm related to a king or to a queen or to a famous inventor or a great literary giant or a tremendous musician. And somehow we kind of communicate that that rubs on us, that we are great because we are associated with those that are great. But here in the Christmas genealogies of Jesus, it is quite the opposite. He is not honored by being connected to their names. they are honored by being connected to Jesus. In the very last book of the Bible, Revelation, there are multiple references to Jesus holding the book of life, and that it is a book filled with names, the names of those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And perhaps also with each name, the date of when that faith was first expressed. And as best I understand, it's an actual literal book that Jesus holds with our names in it. The names of every one of us, at least, who has faith and trust in Jesus only as our Savior from sin, the Lord of this life, and the promise of eternal life. And the great, great honor is that our names as Christians are listed with Jesus. God, thank you that through your Son Jesus, our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Each one of us who trusts Jesus as Savior celebrates being connected with your Son. And if there's even one of us here today whose name is not listed in the Book of Life, may today be the day and may today's date be written that this is the time of faith, this is the place when we trusted in Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.